Okay, good morning everyone. So my name is Sietse. I'm currently working in the Building Life Group at the Eindhoven University of Technology. More specifically, I'm working on a project which is a collaboration between the University of Signify, and some work in this project was on simulating depth of daylight patterns using radiance for virtual reality research. Well, I would say it's good to give a bit of background to that first. Well, in recent years, professor, she's now connected to the Eindhoven University of Technology. She did some studies on how we perceive interior spaces and how the perception of a space is impacted by having a certain sunlight pattern in the space. So it was maybe by having different types of facade geometry, you get a certain sunlight pattern, and how does this impact the perception? To make sure all the participants of these studies have exactly the same stimuli, basically they have exactly the same sunlight pattern in front of them, the studies were conducted in virtual reality. And to create this virtual reality environment, the 360 degree image was rendered in radiance. So basically, this is an image. That image was placed in the headset so participants in the studies could look around in the environment. Well, at the moment, we would like to do six experiments again, but now focus on a different type of light pattern. Maybe there it is. Depth of light. Well, for people that don't know, so depth of light is basically if you're on a nice sunny day in the forest, you'll see some type of light pattern, which we refer to as depth of light. And it basically consists of two main effects. So having so large numbers that are quite smooth, you could say. So usually there's quite some distance between the leaves in front of you and the floor. So you get really smooth solar panumbras and not so many hard shadows. And the other effect is solar pinhole projection. This is probably a bit more known as camera obscura. So basically, if you only have a really small opening between all the leaves in a tree, then you get a projection of basically the shape of the sun. So you get this circular spot in front of you. Well, what we would like to do is really see how these patterns impact our perception of a space if we have this in an interior environment, but also really tweak these patterns. So basically test what's the impact of a certain solar penumbra length. And well, if we want to make these environments again with radiance, we first need to know, can radiance actually simulate these patterns accurately? So it's mainly focusing on the penumbras and pinhole projections simulated with radiance. Well, as you just saw, it's virtual reality, so in the end we're tone mapping the final output. So it's mainly about investigating the dimensions of these effects. So what's the certain penumbra length for a certain scene in radiance? So what I did, I first developed some radiance-based methods to simulate these effects, and then I compared simulation using these methods to measurement data. Well, first some bit of background on sun radiance. Well, radiance to sun is basically a direction and a solid angle, so the direction is the location from here till where the sun is, and then the solid angle is the angular opening we need to capture the complete size of the sun. Well, this is fine simplification since that angular opening is quite consistent during the year. However, in radiance, so for a typical simulation, the angular light source is a part of the deterministic calculation, so they're only sampled by a single ray, which basically means if we look at an HDR image with a solar penumbra in there, it will look like the sun is just a point source. Normally, if you look, what should I do to get a smooth penumbra in a radiance render with sunlight, it's generally recommended to turn on direct jittering and render the image at a higher resolution and then subsequently downscale the image. Well, I've illustrated that a bit more in these slides. So what you see over here is basically if we have the radiance scene where the solar disk is visible and there is an obstruction in front of part of the solar disk, then with direct jittering turned off, what radiance would do, it basically checks for every pixel in the scene if the center of the sun is visible. If it's visible, the pixel receives full radiance. If the pixel is not visible, it doesn't receive at least direct sunlight. So we get this really sharp looking shadow boundary over there. If we render at higher resolution, well, it will still look quite sharp in the end. By turning on direct jittering, instead of sampling all the rays, the center of the sun, ravens will randomly sample them over a square, which is drawn on top of the sun. And dependent on the direct jittering setting, the size, basically the dimensions of the square changes. So if we then render immediately at final resolution, we actually get the number of order that is quite, well, looks quite noisy, the pixels. But if we render at high resolution, then we get a number that looks quite smooth. But it's now mainly dependent on the direct jittering setting, what the length of the penumbra is. So for studies one to conduct, there may be some problems with using this method. So first of all, we're jittering the rays basically over a square. Especially for that solar pinhole projection, we actually, well, we need that circular shape to get a pinhole that looks something like the sun. Rays are just randomly, so it's more post-processing intervention actually than already when making the scene, really analyzing how much of the sun is visible. And of course, with this approach, we usually need to downscale the image at least 8 times to get a smooth penumbra. For virtual reality, we already need to have quite high resolutions, so that really requires some high resolution renders. So besides this approach of direct jittering and downscaling, I also looked at 2 other methods to simulate solar penumbras and pinhole projections with radiance. The second method was basically just adding the sun to the stochastic calculation, since theoretically, if we send enough rays, just put it on the supercomputer, we should be able to get a realistic solar penumbra. And the third option is basically simplifying the sun, so filling that angular opening of the sun with a lot of small suns. Well, this is something you could do manually, but it will take quite some time to get all the direction factors in the right position. So, with some great input from John, we developed a method to do this, which we refer to as the stencil method. So basically what we want to achieve is, what you see on the left is your typical sun description, on the right is the sun description that has all these little suns that provides the same irradiance in the scene. So basically it fills the same solid angle. So what we did, if you look on the left, your typical sun description with the radiance value and the direction factor, we can save the direction factor and just put it in an altitude in an azimuth, and actually take the radiance value and put it in a standard sun description. So now the standard sun is basically the same as the splice sun, but the difference is we know exactly where it's at, it's just along the x-axis. So what we then can do is basically render an image of the standard sun while looking from the origin of the scene. Dependent on the dimensions of the image, the standard sun will now consist of a certain number of pixels. And since we're looking directly at the sun, what we can do is actually generate the direction factor behind every ray of this HDR image, so the factor that causes a certain luminance in every pixel. And if we only do that for the pixels that have the brightness value, then we get all the pixels that are within our sun. And then we can just output directly this list of factors. And the nice thing is we can now put this list of factors in a new sun description. So this new sun description can just have an arbitrary radiance value. Well, need some code to calculate it, and then we can just input this list of factors we just generated. Then if we inspect this new sun description with our view, it will look something like this. So now we have 632 suns within the angular opening of your typical sun. Then there are only 2 things left to do. So we need to make sure that all the little suns provide the same irradiance as our supply sun, and also we need to make sure that it's in the same position in the sky as the original sun. So now we have 3 methods to hopefully simulate accurate solar penumbras and pinhole projections, but also we need a way to compare simulations with these measurements, with these methods to measurement data. So what I did, I made the following setup. What you see over here is first a penumbra and also a pinhole projections. Well, these sunlight effects were made using the setup. So we have this plate with a small opening in the middle. The plate was on a rail, so by changing the distance between the plate and the surface, we get a certain size penumbra and pinhole projection. And for various distances on the rail, with some help of my colleague, we captured these effects using this luminous camera and this luminous hand meter. On the left side of this figure, you see the measurements. So I processed these to HDR images, and then using the weather station that was also on the roof and the mesh of material properties and dimensions, I created a model. And using this model, I first simulated some HDR, which is using more or less standard parameters. So to identify if the simulation model could accurately predict average luminances in the HDR images. And then using these three approaches to hopefully simulate solar numbers of pinhole projections, I also created HDR images. And those HDR images I compared to my measurement data in an analysis. So first, for the validation of the model, well, for predicting average luminances, in the HDR images, there was about an error, usually within 10%, which is quite acceptable. Then on to the penumbras. So this is a typical measurement. So this was for a plate at 160 centimeters from the projection surface. So you basically see a shaded part, an unshaded part, and then the penumbra is the change in color. If we look to the simulation, so these two were made using direct jittering at 0.6 or 0.9 and 8 times downscaling the image. So we see a penumbra appearing, but the length of the penumbra is dependent on the direct jittering setting. For the stochastic calculation, so even with quite high rendering settings, I still was not able to get an image that didn't have quite a lot of visual noise in there. However, we do see penumbra appearing. And then for having many sins, so in this case, of the example I showed, 632, we do get quite a realistic looking penumbra. Well, to quantify this a bit more, in the left figure over here, the vertical axis, you have the length of a solar penumbra. On the horizontal axis, you have the distance between the plate and the projection surface. So by increasing that distance, the penumbra becomes longer. The purple line are the measurements, and the different simulation strategies are the other colors. In the right figure, I calculated the relative error of every simulation strategy against the measurements. As you can see in that figure, by setting direct jittering at 0.9 and 8 times downscaling the image, or by rendering an image using many sins, there's actually a quite small error between the measurements and simulations. Direct jittering 0.6 was consistently off, which is expected since we're sampling over a small square. And the stochastic calculation, even though on average we're finding the right length, there was just quite a lot of noise in the image, so that basically resulted in the large error range. Then for the pinhole projections, so what you see over here is are the measurements. So dependent on the distance between the plate and the projection surface, which is at the top, the size of the pinhole projection increases. So first, for the direct jittering 0.6 simulations, as you can see, we do get pinhole projection, but it really becomes clear that it's basically a square since we're sampling over a square. If we put direct jittering a bit higher, we do get something that starts to resemble a circle, but still the edges are a bit cut off since it's still a square and it's placed over the circle, but it's not covering the complete area. For the stochastic calculation, well, the dimensions we're looking for are there, but still there's quite a lot of noise in the image just because there are not enough rays that went from the projection surface through the pinhole and then hit the sun. However, for many suns, we do see we get a pinhole projection that quite well matches the measurements. And it's also interesting to quickly look at the rendering duration. So this figure shows the time it took to render one HDR image with a certain simulation strategy. So for direct jittering and 8 times downscaling, so in the end to get an image with a resolution of 4,000 pixels, it took approximately 40 hours. Stochastic calculation, well, as you may have expected, that took approximately 300 hours, and using many sins only took 20 minutes. So to wrap up, with the right workflow, Radiance can simulate dappled light patterns. If you want to render a picture with solar panoramas that are actually are valid, I would recommend putting direct jittering quite high, at least 8 times downscaling the image, or to create many suns. If you, for some reason, also need accurate pinhole projections in your image, I would recommend to just create many suns. The method I showed, so basically the stencil method, how you can easily create sun description with many suns. I made a Python script for it that takes as input your typical sun description and outputs a new description. With a lot of small sense, so it's on GitHub if you want to try it out for yourself. Well, and that was it for today.